Dear friends, the passage I'd like to draw your attention to this morning is in Acts chapter 18, and the title of my message is "The Gospel is More Than Just Words or Names." And we're going to look at this particular individual that is presented to us here from verse 12 called Gallio. Gallio is a man who we'll see is a ruler. And he's confronted by a charge against the Apostle Paul. And his reaction to it is quite telling of his whole attitude to Almighty God and the things of God. And there is for us in there a great warning and much to learn. But before we look at that, it's important that we see the context here. Where are we in Acts 18? We are in Corinth. The Apostle Paul is here. It's the same Corinth that he's going to write a letter to just a little later on, where the church is being established. We read at the beginning of the chapter, he has those who are working with him, named Aquila and Priscilla. And they had come to Corinth because those who were Jews, and these were converted Jews, they were cast out of Rome by Claudius. And so they come to Corinth, and Paul finds that they work in a similar side profession to him. And so they are tent makers together, and you see that here in verse 3. But we also read in verse 11 that the Apostle Paul is in Corinth for about 18 months. He's teaching the word of God amongst the people there. And while Paul is at Corinth, we find either there was a new person who was given charge over Achaia, or the Jews decided to bring this charge against Paul at this certain time after he'd been there for 18 months. Maybe it was getting too much for them, and he is brought before Gallio. Gallio is a very interesting character, because if we talk about judgment seats that the Apostle Paul comes before in the book of Acts, he is probably one of the least spoken about. Some of you will know about Felix, who the Apostle Paul appears before in Acts 24. And we're told Felix trembled when the Apostle Paul preached, but then he said he would call for Paul again to speak to him and didn't appear to pursue the matter of the gospel. Others of you may have heard of Agrippa. This was the man who famously said something along the lines to Paul, "Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian." And whilst there are many that we come across in the group of Agrippa and some in the group of Felix, as we go through this passage in Acts 16, we will see the sad condition of Gallio. Paul is here brought to Gallio because he is accused of insurrection in verse 12. That is the accusation that is made against him. And that gives me my first point. What is it that brought Paul before Gallio? What was his activity? Well, Paul was founding this fledgling church here in Corinth. Paul goes to the synagogue and the marketplace. In verse 4, we read that he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day, persuading the Jews and the Greeks. Paul, as a Jew by birth, had a great heart to share the gospel with them. And knowing that people would gather there on the Sabbath day where the people were, that's where Paul was going to go and share the gospel. And so he does that. And he shares the gospel, but he encounters opposition. In verse 6, we're told they blasphemed, and it clearly got to a stage where it was no longer profitable for the Apostle Paul to be there. And so we're told that he departs in verse 7 and goes to a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God. And so Paul goes to preach in this house of Justus, and rather interestingly, maybe when Paul said, "I'm not coming into the synagogue anymore," they thought they got rid of him. But we're told that this man's house was joined hard to the synagogue. So it may be it even shared a wall And if the Apostle Paul kept his voice up, you maybe would hope that they would even hear what he is saying the very next door, so they didn't get rid of him completely. Not only that, but we read the chief ruler of the synagogue in verse 8 became a believer. He believed on the Lord, and many Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And so we see this is the activity that Paul is engaged in. He's preaching the gospel. He's encountering opposition at the synagogue. And the Lord even gives Paul a great comfort. The Lord speaks to Paul in verse 9 by a vision, telling him not to be afraid, but to speak and to not hold his peace. And this was a great comfort to the Apostle Paul, because those of you who know what had happened to him on his first missionary journey, at one point he'd been dragged outside of the city, stoned and left for dead. He's been in another place in Philippi where he's been put in prison. And yet the Lord, knowing that he's going to be greatly used here at Corinth, it encourages Paul to continue his work, because verse 10, I have much people in this city. So this is the activity that Paul is engaged in that then brings him to the Gallio with this accusation from the Jews. Well, who was Gallio? Who is this individual? Well, Gallio was, you might say, a Roman dignitary of some sort. Those of you who are well-rehearsed in the school of philosophy might be interested to know his brother was the philosopher Seneca. And Gallio was, it seems from writings, maybe a bigger thing than even his brother was at the time. It's believed he came to Corinth in about AD 51, and there he is ruling over a particular area. There are also other, outside of the scriptures, evidences that Gallio was in charge of this particular area. There's something called the Delphi inscriptions, where you see him described as the proconsul over this whole area of Achaia, and Seneca describes his brother as well. He's described as a man who merged Greek culture and Roman arrogance. And maybe you have here a picture painted for you of this Gallio, a respected dignitary, a man who had a high opinion of himself. And he is given significant responsibility. But I want to turn now to consider Gallio's foolish flaw. Gallio's foolish flaw. In verse 12, we read the Apostle Paul is brought to Gallio, to the judgment seat there, or the bema as it is in the Greek. And you can go to Corinth today. It was discovered not too long ago. And there is a judgment seat there in the ancient ruins that you can look at. And as Paul is brought to him, what is it that Gallio makes of it all? He says in verse 15, as the Jews bring Paul before him, he says, if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye into it, for I will not be a judge of such matters. It appears maybe to, on the face of it, a good thing that Gallio just sees this accusation from the Jews as words and names. And it is right, it is a good thing for Paul, because he's unlikely to be imprisoned. But it reveals to us the state of this man's heart, the state of Gallio's heart before the Lord. To him, the things of God and truth were just words and names. Maybe Gallio was a prototype postmodernist. You believe what you want, it's just words and names, and God, get on with it and don't bother me. Words and names. That's all he thought of the accusation against the Apostle Paul. And to get a grasp of what Gallio is calling just words and names, we need to look at what the Apostle Paul has been saying and the accusation that is made against him by the Jews. Look at verse 12 here. The Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. And then in verse 13, we get the charge, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." That is the summary, if you like, the summary charge against the Apostle Paul before Gallio. He was persuading men to worship God contrary to the law. Now, it is rather ironic, isn't it, that these accusers of Paul would see it as a bad thing that he is persuading them to worship God contrary to the law, maybe contrary to worshiping Caesar or something of that sort. And we get in that accusation what Paul was doing and the substance of the charge against him. He was persuading people to worship the true and living God, as every preacher seeks to do. In what way was he telling them to worship God? Well, we get that in verse 4. We read in verse 4, he was persuading the Jews and Greeks. And then in verse 5, we're told, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, or is the Christ. What's the significance of that? You know, sometimes we can talk about Christian things. We could talk about our Savior's name of Jesus and Christ, and we don't really think of the significance of it all. Christ, of course, points us to one who was the anointed one, the one who was the Messiah, who was to come as the suffering servant and to save a people from their sins. And so we see this is what Paul is teaching. He's teaching them about Christ. And he is the one to be worshipped and adored and the Savior. And this is the accusation that is brought before Gallio. And what is his response? Just words and names. He doesn't see the significance of it all. Jeremiah Burroughs, in one of his writings called The Gospel Conversation, says this of Gallio: "Caring for none of these things, they were to him but matters of word, and yet they were great fundamental points of religion. Whether Christ were the true Messiah, and whether he were God or no, but to Gallio, these things were but a matter of words. And so the great God and religion to carnal hearts, they are of no great consequence at all." End quote. So Gallio here comes before the Apostle Paul, and Paul is teaching about eternity, about the one true God, and to him it's just words and names. And as we see Gallio here in this response, we have to consider ourselves, don't we? What about you? What is the preaching of the gospel to you? What is the Bible that tells you of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it just words and names? As you attend a church or maybe visit a church, and it's very interesting to hear teachings from the Bible, but to you it's just words and names. It's no significant thing. That can be a danger, especially if you're brought up in a Christian home as I was, because you can become so used to teachings from the Bible. You hear it week after week, and you can relegate it to just words and names and not realize the significance of it all, that Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. And this is what is set forth for us here. It's so important, words and names. So many people put other things as important outside of worshipping the true and living God and knowing Christ. And they relegate knowing Christ and worshipping the true and living God as words and names. Many people would plan for a year or so for a particular holiday that they're really looking forward to. And maybe if they're organized, they've got an itinerary and they anticipate where they're going to visit, but you ask them about eternity and where they're going to spend eternity, and they have no interest. Do you see how these priorities are completely wrong? It is relegating Christ and the worship of God to words and names and putting significance on other things. And so we do well to take note of that. So what is the Apostle Paul preaching? He's preaching Christ. To Paul, what was important was declaring Christ as the way of salvation. And we get a little glimpse of that, don't we, in Corinthians. In his letter to this church that he is preaching to, he describes his own preaching ministry in 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. What is it he says in verse 1? "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's what Paul was determined to know among them, Christ and him crucified. And that's how he could describe his ministry to them as we see him brought here before Gallio. Dear friend, what is Christ to you? Just a name? To Paul and to the believer, he is most precious. He is our Savior, the one alone who redeems us from sin. You may be in a high position like Gallio, you may not. But will one day have to stand before Almighty God, as Gallio had to stand before Almighty God, whose message Paul was preaching, and he described as just words and names, and give an account. There's an interesting feature in this passage in verse 14. We read, Paul was about to open his mouth. Maybe Paul was warming up. He's going to give Gallio some of the teaching that he later gives Felix and Agrippa. But before Paul can get those words out, Gallio interrupts and says unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wickedness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye into it, for I will be no judge of such matters." Gallio doesn't even want to hear Paul speak. The Jews who are accusing Paul have said this man is telling people about how they can worship God. And Gallio doesn't even want to hear it. He doesn't even want to hear what the Apostle Paul has to say. Sadly, there are people like this too. Gallio did not want to hear. It was vital, and yet Gallio was not interested. In John 6, verse 68, do you remember what Simon Peter says? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And that is what Gallio here shows utter contempt for. He doesn't even want to hear it from the Apostle Paul. Dear friend, we should care for these things. We should take the teachings about how to worship God as important and vital. We should heed the warnings of the Apostle Paul that Christ is the only way of salvation, that he determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And where do you stand, dear friend, this day with regard to Christ? Is he your Savior and Redeemer? Or is it just a word, a person that you hear about and read? Are you indifferent to God's revelation in his word? Oh, I pray the Lord may open your eyes, and you too, like many at Corinth who believed and trusted in the Lord by the grace of God. And so we find Gallio here is a great warning. We also see in verse 17, there's what seems to be a sort of random bit of information. We're told, "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of those things." Now, this would seem a strange thing on the face of it. Why would Luke tell us, who's the author who the Lord used to write the inspired word, why would he tell us about Sosthenes, who on the face of it didn't seem to be anything in this whole circumstance? Well, Sosthenes, I would argue to you, is a converted believer. If you go to 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, what is the opening of Paul's letter to the Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. And so we may infer Sosthenes here, as he's brought and beaten before the judgment seat, is a converted believer who, once again, Gallio just doesn't care. It reveals this man's heart. He cared for none of those things. If you want to exact your own justice, go ahead. This shows the state, really, of Gallio's heart. Not only is Gallio's response a warning to the unbeliever who views the word of God and the way of salvation as just words and names, there's also a sense that it can help the believer in our evangelistic endeavors. It maybe should be a comfort to us. When we see the Apostle Paul, he's preaching and speaks to Felix, and Felix has trembles, but then forgets about it. Or he preaches to Agrippa, and he's almost persuaded. But the Apostle Paul also encountered people like Gallio, who just regarded it as words and names and wasn't interested. And dear friend, you may encounter that if you're engaged in evangelism. You may find some who initially are interested, and yet it would appear it was not effectual. You might find others who say, well, you almost persuade me, but yet they do not come to true faith. And then there are others, and there seems to be many like this today, who see the preaching of the gospel and the way of salvation as just words and names. And to a certain degree, I don't know about you, but it's a comfort to me that the Apostle Paul encountered those sorts of people that we may encounter when we're evangelizing. Yes, the Lord blessed him, and the Lord blesses us as we share the gospel. But there are others who would also be opposed to us as well. One of the vital things to the Apostle Paul was the preaching of the cross of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the wisdom of God." And that is something that I would point out to you today. As we look at Gallio, as we hear Paul's message, Paul's clear, specific message that Christ, he was preaching to them that Jesus was the Christ, that he is the only Savior. It is my sincere prayer today that Christ would not be to you just names and words, but you may see that Christ was God manifest in the flesh, the only begotten of the Father, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And that if you know Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, you can rejoice with the Apostle Paul of that great day when you will be with him for all eternity. One of the characteristics of the Greeks, and probably to the same degree the Romans, was that they were individuals who trusted in the wisdom of men. They trusted in the wisdom of men, and that maybe comes through if you read what Gallio says here in verse 14 and 15. You know, if it were a matter of wrong or wickedness, O ye Jews, reason that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of names and of your law, look ye into it, for I will be no judge of such matters. For him, he had a wisdom. He had his own wisdom. And he regarded his own wisdom as the most reliable thing. Dear friend, if you are relying on your own wisdom as the most reliable thing, you are in great peril. Because God has revealed his wisdom to us. The creator of this whole universe, the one who knows all truth, has revealed that which we should know and trust and believe. The God who knows the end from the beginning, who knows everything that is going to pass, I think we can say fairly that his wisdom is above ours. And he comes to us with his wisdom from the word of God. So that the Apostle Paul, again, in his letter to the Corinthians, reminds them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. He talks in this way. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what the Apostle Paul preached. Their faith, the faith of these Corinthian believers, was not built on the wisdom of a man like Gallio. It was built on the wisdom of Almighty God. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you note that Paul talks about him declaring unto them the testimony of God. Why Paul's words mattered more than what Gallio said. Why the message that Paul preached and why the message of the Bible matters more than other things is because it is the testimony of God. It's because it comes with the authority of the God of this whole universe. And that is why we shouldn't regard it as just words and names. It is the revelation of Almighty God to us. And we need to pay attention to it. Some of you may have heard of those occasions where you maybe have got a summons to jury service or something like that, and it comes with a letterhead of the court service, or Her Majesty's Court Service, as it's now known. And at the top it has that, and you're summonsed, and you see that as important. And you need to obey it and pay attention to it. My dear friends, in the Word of God, you have the instruction from the God of this whole universe, telling you that without Christ, you will not stand in his holy presence. You will stand and appear in your full sinfulness. And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." If you regard this message that he has given to you in his precious word as just words and names, you will be condemned. But if you heed it, if, like the Apostle Paul and those believers described for us here at Corinth, Paul reminds the Corinthian believers, doesn't he, in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ rose from the dead. And as Christ was raised, one day we shall be raised. And will be with Christ forevermore. Dear friends, I'm just about through. But I hope that you've seen this morning, just in this little character study of this man Gallio, the great danger of just viewing the things of God as words and names. And we see that it's so much more than that, 100%. And be encouraged. Be encouraged if you encounter a sort of Gallio mentality when you're evangelizing. Paul encountered it too. And he knew folks like Gallio, but he also knew people like Aquila and Priscilla, dear believers who followed the Lord faithfully. Let's pray.